Hey everybody, thank you for tuning in to New Life Podcast. Get ready for Pastor Dave Dolan to deliver a spirit-filled message centered in God's Word.
So good to be with you today. To those of you that are watching by whatever device you may have connected with, we thank God that you've connected with us, taking your time, and we believe that God's going to do something great in your life today. There are a whole group of people here that have been experiencing the miracle-working, life-transforming, changing, devil-stomping salvation power of the blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? We ask you to stand today. Everything that has transpired this far in this service has brought us to this moment. We believe that the Word of God and the Word of God alone has the ability to transform your life. We're believing that there will be a supernatural transfusion today. John chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? High five somebody and ask them, are you ready? Amen. So good to be with you this morning. God is so incredible. This blind man had faced a storm in his life. All of us face storms in our life. But can I remind you that the storm that may be in your life may not be to destroy you, but simply to clear your path so that you can see clearly, so that you can embrace the power of who God is. Calvary's victory is so enormous and so overwhelming. When we talk about the impact of the blood of Jesus, there are miracle moments in your life that are a direct result of the power of the blood that he shed. In Christianity, we use a lot of cliches. We sing about the blood, that there's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And that is true, and we acknowledge that. We have sung that great chorus, it reaches to the highest mountain, it flows to the lowest valley. And we believe that he was our substitution. And I don't want to travel down this road far, but can I tell you, he came to do more than just be your substitute. He didn't just die as your substitute, he died as you. And that phrase takes on a greater significance that I need to ask myself this question. What am I living my life for? For a God to robe himself in flesh and not just die for me, but die as me and carry every sin that I would ever commit is mind-boggling, overwhelming, heart-changing, life-transforming. I must do everything within my ability to love him with all my strength, all my heart, with everything that is within me. Anything less is to not honor his sacrifice and what he gave his life for. We live in a culture today where the grace of God is being used as a tool to do what I want instead of a ladder to get out of the pit. And the grace of God is powerful and it's marvelous. But I want to take the next couple of weeks and simply massage this whole term transfusion and talk a little bit about the power of the blood of Jesus, because I don't believe that we adequately understand that one drop of his blood has the potential and the ability to send every demonic force in hell that is set against you screaming for cover. One drop of his blood can eradicate every sin in your life, all the iniquity of your life. One drop of his blood can transform your life and take you out of darkness into light, can change you. It is more about transformation than it is forgiveness. And so we must embrace the reality and the truth that Calvary's cross, when approached with the proper posture of forgiveness and the request for him to forgive us, is wonderful. But he wants to go beyond just forgiving us. To forgive us and leave us the same is not a proper perspective of Calvary's victory. He forgave us so that we could have the opportunity to be changed, not to be forgiven and no life change. You've heard people say that the grass looks greener on the other side. And so people in our culture today are struggling with an enormity of situations in their life. And whatever's going on in your life, if the grass looks greener on the other side, stop complaining, stop murmuring, stop looking at it, start watering your own grass. Well, that's what I heard Friday night from 75 pastors. Well, oh my, yes. So that's the atmosphere that I'm accustomed to right now, and I'm going to try to pull you along just a little bit, because there's nothing worse than a Pentecostal church where people just stare at the preacher. I'm just the messenger, and there's still power in the blood, and some of you have been touched by it, and you know, because you've been healed, delivered, liberated, saved. Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Man does not have the ability to change the course of his life. Man does not have the ability to change the characteristics. We only have the opportunity to submit and surrender at Calvary's cross and take that forgiveness and that life-transforming power and continue to declare it. I love what a man said. No clever arrangement of rotten eggs can make a good omelet. Can we just be honest? We are rotten to the core. There is nothing good in us. And Jesus saw that. And from the foundation of the world, God purposed to have a plan so that you could have direction, so that you could have purpose, so that you could walk in a place of power. Have we not learned in our culture that money can't fix it? That the government can't control it, that marriages won't eliminate it, that singleness cannot avoid it, that psychology can't remove it, that medicine can't heal it, and education cannot solve it. We have a sin problem that only the blood can take care of. Once you are redeemed, once you are born again, it is not the elimination of challenges in our life. I don't know about you, but I need to frequently go and visit the power of the cross and ask for the blood of Jesus to help me, empower me, forgive me, strengthen me, because I have a tendency in my flesh to stray and to wander, and sometimes I have to corral my emotions and my thoughts. There is enough unsanctified rebellion in me that there are moments that I want to drive a bulldozer into somebody's yard. Come on, I just want to talk to some real folks. I just want to get a paintbrush at night and color their house on one side a different color, the side they don't normally view, so that someone else has to inform them that there's been a drastic change in their home. Has anybody ever had the feeling that they just wanted to reach out and touch someone in a drastic, violent, overwhelming moment, just for a moment, that you'll pray and repent later? Well, that's a couple of us. We'll gather the rest of you rotten eggs together in just a moment, because I tell you today, there's a lack of the fear of God in our nation and in this world. And until we recognize that there is nothing good in us, we cannot be propelled to walk in righteousness and allow God to strengthen our character. We need a cure for rage, for bitterness, for broken hearts, for prejudice, for selfishness, for pride and lust and greed and perversion and hopelessness and abuse and unforgiveness. We must learn that it is only the power of the blood of Jesus that can help us. You can read books, you can be educated, you can go through all of the hoops and accomplish great things in our society, but if you don't understand the power of the blood, because when the blood is applied, God looks at you and says, you're perfect in the spirit. The Lord woke me up at 4 a.m. this morning. Because we're all faced every day with decisions. The problem is we make decisions out of our emotions. And the Lord spoke to me and I began to write, because when God speaks to me, I write, because I have a written record of what he said that can be examined, evaluated, and judged. And the Lord began to speak to me about the conflict of the soul and the spirit when making decisions. For another time, for another moment. Can I tell you, on an old rugged cross, he hung suspended between heaven and earth, vulnerable, transparent, not afforded the luxury of Tony Lama boots or jeans that look like they need repair. He hung there, suspended between heaven and earth, while the religious crowd mocked him, while his disciples did not understand. But he was so focused on fulfilling the Father's plan so that today you and I could walk in the power of God. Let me just take one moment. May I? Will you give me the liberty for 30 seconds? Just want to thank God for keeping his hand on Breton. Wednesday night, in that fog, stop sign came on him closer than what he anticipated, totaled his truck. He said, "Grandpa, I got back in it the other day and there was only that much room between my head and the roof." No, I'm talking about the favor of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the power of the blood to help you, to spare you, to make sure that you have a destiny, that you don't leave this world until it's time. Because he's more than enough. He is our strength and our help and our fortress. I want to extract something from this passage of Scripture in John chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, that I think are absolutely incredible as Jesus dissects what the disciples ask. And through this whole chapter, this blind man will not only miraculously receive his sight through obedience to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. If you say you love God, then let me check and ask you how obedient you are. What is the last instruction that he gave you? Do you thank him when you wake up in the morning that you got up vertical and you have breath in your body and you can see and you can hear and you have the ability to accomplish things? That must be the beginning of your day, because when it is, it will escort you through the rest of the day. I'll enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. I begin to think about the parables that Jesus taught and the interaction he had with men and women that were in crisis, that had struggles physically, emotionally, the woman at the well, and his ability to chart a course into their lives and give them hope and transform them. The whole term transfuse means to exchange or to pass from one to another. Our blood was contaminated because of Adam and Eve's sin. And Jesus came along and gave us a new bloodline, the possibility and the potential to forever be changed. In this particular scripture, he comes across a blind man, and the disciples are quick to begin to declare something which reveals the educational process and their thought life. They said, "Jesus, did this blindness come? Is it a result of this man's sin or his parents?" So that tells me, even in his response, that sin can cause physical problems. Not always, but it can. It can be an attack of the devil. It can be because of an accident. It can be because of what you eat. You need to hear me. If you're not feeling well and you're still eating three times at McDonald's, I don't know that praying for you and anointing you with oil until you look like a greased pig at a county fair is going to change your life. Something has to change. You need to go from two sesame buns and special sauce with two burgers in between. And the term burger is a relative term, could mean anything. That's just extra. I just wanted to put the advertisement out there to help you. But then also he addresses the reality that the sins of the forefathers can cause a genetic problem. And they've learned in the study of DNA that sometimes genetic diseases can skip a generation and all of a sudden appear in another generation. So I've put something that I want to show you, because there are two terms specifically that I want to examine in the next few moments. Number one is seed. In other words, when they asked Jesus, was this blindness a result of his parents' sin or the seed? Because Exodus tells us that the sins of the fathers are passed to the third and fourth generation. My grandfather was an alcoholic. Whatever a prior generation does in the arena of sin transfers from one generation to another until it's broken by the power of the blood. So they said, is it the seed? Is it the iniquity or the weakness from forefathers that now has become a breeding ground that causes us to be bent towards particular sin, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcoholism, whether it's pornography, whether it's gambling, whatever the issue is, because I'm reluctant to name something because we will shout about over what we hear, even if I don't address your particular. So whatever your challenge is, the disciples bring it up to him and go, was it the seed? Was it the iniquity of the forefathers? Or was it the deed? Was it his actual transgression? Was it his personal sin that has caused this? Come on, don't look at me like that. I'm reading from the Bible, the real book, God's word, his holy writ. They ask this question, and his response is this: it is neither. It wasn't the sins of the fathers, nor is it his sin, but this particular situation is for the glory of God, for the goodness and the mercy of God to be seen. He gives the blind man an instruction. Jesus died on the cross, and because he died on the cross, we now have doctrine being preached in the pulpits of our churches in America, that because he died and paid the price for sin for the whole world, there is nothing that you need to do. No confession, no repentance. His grace covers you. That is a lie. Because if you don't respond to the offer, I could tell you today, I will have a check. It's in my back pocket. It is written out for $10,000. And you can go home and get online and check your bank account. But if you don't come and get it, it's not yours. There is a posture. Jesus' first message is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, change the way you think. There's a problem with that, because we have been raised from the time we were born in a home or in a society where we're taught to think a particular way. And the more we think in ungodly ways that are not biblical ways, the more patterns are set in our life. And those patterns are not broken by just coming to church. Those cycles are not broken by just saying, I believe. There is an instruction. There is an action that needs to take place. We have to activate our faith and believe and say, he paid the price for me being free from this. Therefore, evidently, obviously, there is a power that I can grab a hold of that will help me stay free. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Can I tell you that the next move of God that is about to blow across this world and across this planet, initiated by the Lord God himself, will be a move of God where people not only recognize their need for Jesus and their dysfunction, but they will run to an altar and find, hopefully, in our churches, the power of God through the blood of Jesus to transform their lives forever, and they will walk in that power and strength. So they ask them, is it his own actions. Because, ladies and gentlemen, what you do or do not do, what you watch or do not watch, what you say or do not say can accelerate the iniquity in you, or it can stop it and hinder it. Because in our DNA, we have negative and positive attitudes from our parents. How many of you know that? And if your parents are here, don't be afraid to raise your hand. It's okay. If my kids raise their hands, I'm not offended. I'm not hurt. It just is what it is. I did 12 programs with Bishop Holly in Houston, Texas, when we were there, and I began to watch them. The more I watched them, the more, and I told my wife, I can't watch this. She said, why? Every mannerism I have, the way I look, the way I talk is just like my dad. The way I hold my head, the way I look, I'm going, I feel like I'm looking at him. Duh. So I was at my mom's house the other day, and I was telling her what was going on. And Rob told me, he said, when you left last week, it was really hard for mom, because the way you talk, your mannerisms, the way you look, the way you shift your head, the way you cross your legs reminded her of my dad. And we're struggling in our culture to be our own person, okay? Now, my dad had positive attributes and he had negative. I can say that. He's not here. He's in heaven. I'll have to deal with it later. Just pray. But we all carry those things. And not liking the negative attributes is not enough to bring change. God created you, and your DNA is unique to your family, but he has the power, and I'll show you in just a moment, he has the power to intrude into that earthly DNA and shift it and change it so that you begin to take on the characteristics of your heavenly Father: faithfulness, loyalty, prayer, worship, influence, impact, sincerity, hospitality, godliness. He has the ability to do that. Because in your DNA, there are two types of chromosomes. There are dominant and there are passive. And we discover in science that a disease can jump a generation. But Isaiah quoted it and declared it correctly. He was wounded for our transgressions, our deeds. He was bruised for our iniquities. The seed. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Can I challenge you today that it goes beyond physical healing, but it goes into the arena of those areas of our life emotionally where our DNA leans and is bent towards certain types of behavior that we either accept. Here's word number three, and feed. What are we feeding? We had a stray cat around our house about a year ago, and I caught my wife taking a little bowl. I said, don't you dare. You feed that animal and it will return and return. And cats are different than dogs. Cats multiply every 18 hours. So in about 30 days, we're going to have 450,000 varmints around here. I'm sorry if you're a cat lover. I just don't have the time to feed them, because the history in my life is they crawl up in the engine compartment of my car, and when I backed out of the house, I've run over them. I've seen them on the highway flipping and flopping back and forth like they were training for the Olympics. I've had my kids stand on the front porch crying. So it's better for me to stay away from those things. If you can't handle emotionally some things in your life, why do you keep embracing it? There are some decisions that we need to make. You say, I don't have the strength of will. That's why Jesus shed his blood, so that if you would call upon the blood of Jesus for just a moment, God would give you the power to overcome as you begin to initiate the word. So there is the seed, the iniquity of the forefathers. There is the deed, the actual transgressions. And then we have to look at the word feed, which means to gratify or give satisfaction, do you not know that the pleasures of sin are for a season? But they are not lasting, and they take their toll on you. And they're damaging. And then you have to deal with the whole element of condemnation. Why do I keep doing that? Why did I do that? Why do I constantly get angry? The world has an answer. It's because I'm Irish, you know. And my heritage goes back to Ireland. And so someday I'm going to go back to my Irish roots. And, you know, we kiss the Blarney Stone, but we'll fight you in a minute. Maybe you're struggling with lust. And the world says, let us take a DNA test. We knew it. Your roots are from France. Oh, mon ami, I knew that there was just this love in my heart. And so it's kind of going to an extra scream. And, you know, I cannot help myself. I just see beautiful things and I want to embrace them. And I want to get close to them. And, you know, that's my background. I eat French bread. I eat French fries. I eat French toast. That must be why I am like I am. Or maybe you struggle with things from another culture. I don't know. And we look for somebody to attach that to instead of taking the responsibility for ourselves because we're not sure. And we've walked in that cycle so long. How do I get out of this? How do I break this? How do I get through this? Can I tell you? It is through the power of the new birth and the power of the blood of Jesus. So when we see cycles in our life that are not conducive to our purpose and our destiny and to Christianity and to honor Jesus for what he did, what are we feeding? When we feed the cycles that demean us, there is temporary gratification, but it ultimately leads to darkness and death and the lack of emotion and feeling. And so the fourth word is this: we have to heed. We take the seed and look at the deed. What are we feeding? The whole word heed means our attitude towards the seed, to guard or to pay attention to. How are we examining it? How are we looking at it? I'm at a point in my life where I don't have the time or the opportunity in my own mind to make drastic, detrimental decisions. I want to run hard and I'm going to run fast. And I'm going to do the best that I can. And when I fall, I'm going to get up and say, sorry, Jesus, I repent. I ask you to help me. I call on the blood of Jesus. And I thank you that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I thank you that you took all my sins and transgressions and nailed them to the cross, taking them out of the way. I thank you that in this moment, the devil has no ability, no access, no place of vulnerability in my life to accuse you, to accuse me before you. I thank you that I walk away free. I thank you that I walk away liberated. I do not walk in condemnation. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. I'm not heeding the things of the flesh. I'm not heeding the iniquity and the deeds, but I'm walking in the freedom and the liberty where Jesus broke those things so that I can be a powerful tool and a weapon in the hands of God, because our earth needs it desperately today, because they're confused and they're upside down and they're living in a world of darkness. We are the light of the world because of the message that God has given us. Let me take you to Revelations 12 quickly. There are three things that the devil hates. And over the next few weeks, I want to help you. But today, I want to examine this in the light of this scripture. He hates the blood of Jesus because it is the blood of Jesus that defeats him absolutely. He wants to keep you from an understanding of the power that's in the blood. He wants to keep you away. He wants to keep you condemned. He wants to keep you in a position where your thought life is focused on that which has fractured you and that which makes you weak and that which he'll come and get in your face and go, you're just like your parents. You're just like your grandparents. You've got to stand up and go, no, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I am the redeemed of the Lord. I am born again, backwoods, sky blue, blood bought, devil thumping, Bible chasing believer. He wants to attack you with all of those things, and you have to make a decision and say, the blood of Jesus covers me. I have dealt with enough demonic activity that I know and have seen when I declare the power of the blood that I've seen demons screech and hell flee. Ah, there is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. The second thing that he despises is the word of God, the word of your testimony. You only have a testimony because you've been through a test and you embrace the power of the word of God that had the ability to get you out of your struggle and out of your problem. I don't have the time to rehearse all of the moments when physical disease have come my way. I was in Herrick, Illinois in 1978. I was supposed to preach on a Saturday night. I came in town. I went to one of the elders' house because I couldn't hold it any longer. Do I need to explain? Because when that feeling begins to rise up on the intestines and you begin to feel that gurgling sound and it's not wells of springing up, that you know you've got to get somewhere quickly. I went to his house and took care of that. I laid down on his bed. Service was supposed to start at 7 o'clock. I woke up at 6:55, stood right up, felt the power of God. But what you don't know is before I left, I had been listening to a cassette tape. Explain it to your kids. It's a small reel-to-reel embedded in plastic. It's about that wide. And I'd been listening to Kenneth Copeland, and he'd just been quoting scriptures and faith. And finally, all of a sudden, it hit me. I walked into the church. Pastor couldn't believe. He said, I thought you were sick. I was. I wanted to say, don't you believe in healing? Weren't you praying? Yeah, I was praying, but I didn't. Yeah, I know. You didn't believe. So I walked in. I preached that night. We had 14 people baptized in the Holy Spirit. Altar was full. I'm telling you that if you take the power of the word of God against what's coming against you, there is life-transforming power in the word and in the blood. And the devil does not want you to find that sequence and declare the power of the blood and quote the word of God. It is written. You try to get me to put something before Jesus Christ. You try to get me to make my car an idol. Stop right there. Don't go there. You know I love my car. I love my car, but I love Jesus more. Somebody took a ball-peen hammer and hit the hood of my car. I've been to the police. I've been to body shops. They said, we can't see any other reason. Somebody has taken a ball-peen hammer and hit your car. And my reaction pleased me. I didn't fall out. Didn't have a fit. Didn't cuss. That would have been good for some of you, wouldn't you? If you walk away and you didn't cuss, some of you are doing pretty good. And I went, you know what? It is what it is. Because I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God. And so I don't want anything to be an idol in my life. And when that attempts and that temptation comes, I just go, whoa, whoa, whoa. You'll have no other gods before him. I'm not going to yield to that. I am going to overcome. I am going to walk in faith in the strength of God. Number three is commitment. John the Revelator said, they love their lives not unto death. In other words, they've made a commitment. You've got to make a commitment to utilize the tools that you have. If you were to chase down my son-in-law when they were digging septic tanks, you would not find four of them out there digging with a spoon. And yet that's how we approach some of our problems. They'll be digging with a backhoe. Can I tell you the power of the blood of Jesus and the word of God and you making a commitment to what he did will dig you out of any situation that will get you through any situation? Totally. I need to hurry. Leviticus 17:11 says the life of the flesh is in the blood. Let me read this to you because I want to make sure that I'm accurate about this. Everything you are is in the blood. There are 23 chromosomes from your mother and 23 chromosomes from your father. They combine and they make a complete cell that causes you to begin to have life and grow. That DNA is like a microcomputer that determines your hair color, your eyes, whether you will have hair or not. How tall you will be, how short you will be. Sometimes it determines whether you'll be super skinny or not. Everything in your background, it's coming from your DNA. It also carries genetic problems or sicknesses that could be ready to break out in your body. We talked about iniquity, that it's inherited weaknesses that cause your life to be bent in a certain direction. But you can break that curse with the power of another bloodline through the blood of Jesus. In 1972, it was the first time they recognized that they could manipulate and mix genes and blood cells. They'd already been creating hybrids in agriculture, seedless watermelons, etc. So they knew that it was available and it could be done. Stanford University in 1972 produced the first, and I know this sounds funny, they produced the first super mouse. And they took a number of mice and they injected in these mice a strain of the DNA of a rat. And one out of four mice produced what could be called, and what they did call, a super mouse. Can I tell you that when Jesus gets in your life, you're not normal? You think you're normal before you get Jesus. The truth is, before you get him, you're abnormal. After you receive him and after you embrace the power of his blood, then there is a sense of normality. Things begin to change, but you've been so dysfunctional, it can be startling. One out of four mice grew three times faster and three times the size by taking one cell of a rat and putting it in a mouse. Can I tell you, one drop of blood applied to my life, and now I am super. Did Jesus not say we would walk in the supernatural? Super just means beyond the natural. You're going to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hallelujah. We've sung about the power of the blood, but I'm not sure that we've understood in its totality what the blood of Jesus can do in creating a new creature and an overcoming man and a new dynamic man and woman of God that through Jesus Christ can walk through a troop and leap over a wall, can walk through the fire and the flood and not be burnt and not overcome, can face any giant in the valley and be victorious, can confront any problem and walk away and say, God is greater, can get up in the morning and face anything they need to face and declare, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Nothing is too difficult. Nothing, no thing, nothing is too difficult to our Lord and our Savior who lives in you. Would you allow him to live big in you? The power of the blood has the ability to help us deal with the seed and the deed. I asked an individual one time, if you had to be stranded on a desert island, who would you want to be stranded with? Had to be your family. Deb and I began to talk about it. And we came to a consensus. I'm not going to tell you. But you need to ask the question. Because we look at things in our life. My dad was very easygoing. I don't ever remember hearing my dad and mom yell at one another. If they did, I didn't hear about it. I would have yelled at her when she wrote checks and didn't write them in the checkbook. Yeah, some of you guys are not even moving. You're afraid to move, breathe. Deal with it later. And so he was very easygoing. My mom, on the other hand, is not that way. She's very adamant. She's very boisterous. She's very animated. I'm more like my dad, so I don't deal with that well. I know you don't think that. I'm very introverted. I'm very shy. Very backwards. But the blood of Jesus has shifted me, has changed me. I can get in a room of other people, and I may be a little reserved, but you put me behind a pulpit and give me an opportunity, I will come after you and declare the greatness of a God that laid down his life for you, that nothing is too difficult, that he can reach into your life and change you and transform you. Hallelujah.
Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message. Join us online every Sunday and Wednesday for our streaming services. You can follow us on Twitter at New Life Sullivan or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/New Life Sullivan.